Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of those wonderful texts that has about 9 sermons that you can do out of it. And so I thought I'd just pick 3 today. Because I've been gone for 3 Sundays and I got to kind of get caught up. I'm just kidding. This was one of the very first texts that I ever preached on in preaching class years and years ago. And you ever go back and like read your old college papers? It's abysmal, isn't it? You think to yourself, did I actually like understand the written English language? We grow over the years and learn new ways to think about these texts. And I remember for some odd reason that when I first preached this text, I was so excited about this little child that was placed in the midst of the disciples. And I was excited about it because I didn't have children. I did. I had one little baby. Just a little baby. And so if you don't have children and you don't know about children, you think children are fabulous. And I remember I preached something about how, you know, we're being called to have this open and unquestioning faith and the faith of a child and all of those really wonderful and nice things. And then my kids got older. And I found out that kids, like all the rest of us, they develop over time. And I found out that kids aren't just this nice and sweet little creatures, and that we should emulate the faith of a child because we develop. So I got to thinking about this text and those poor disciples on that day traveling with Jesus who drops the bomb. No one else is around, it says in Mark. They're traveling between their wonderful ministries. And Jesus tells the disciples as they walk along, the Son of Man will be handed over into the hands of humans, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again from the dead. And they have no reaction. It says that they were silent because they were afraid to ask anything of Jesus. So I thought about, where are these disciples in their faith journey? So I came up with a visual aid. I told Pastor Angela this morning that this is the first time I wish we had big screens, you know, like those other churches have, you know, because then you could flash this stuff up. It'd be really cool. By the way, the other 364 days of the year, I don't really want those. But today we will be old school. I thought about, first of all, the first part of our development as disciples and as children has periods. Periods. Everything seems so certain, right? Everything ends with a period. I want that. Period. How many parents have ever heard, "I hate you"? Or my favorite scene from Finding Nemo. It's a great scene when the crab kind of is out in the middle of stuff and all of the seagulls turn and look at him and go, "Mine, mine, 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 period, mine, mine." Everything is so definite and so clear. And in a way, our own development and spiritual and theological development begins with kind of a period. Everything seems so certain. It's comfortable. In a way, that's kind of where the disciples are. Jesus has said this thing, and they just put a period on it and then move on to the next stage, which in this case is to begin to argue about the next period. Who's the best among us? And you can almost hear Peter saying to the rest of the disciples, "Well, you guys, I was first." And Jesus did say something about building the church on me, so I think I should be it. And John saying, "Now wait a minute, I think we need a little spiritual depth, Peter, and trust me, you ain't it." you know, I should be the leader of this group because, you know, I'm the one who really understands the depth of the Holy Spirit. And Luke's saying, you guys, what if you hurt yourselves? You're going to need a doctor. I'd better lead the group. And there they are squabbling with one another about who's to be the greatest, who's going to lead the ministry. Use your imagination. And they keep putting on periods. It never occurs to them to ask the question. So the second phase as we grow up is that of the what I call the interrogative. Do you remember as a child saying this word? Why? We're going to go to the store. Why? You need to take a bath. Why? Do you still do that, Natalie? You're smiling. Why do I have to do that? And then, well, what is that? And why is that? And who is that? I just never forget these things. You walk into a store and there's someone there in a wheelchair and your child walks up and says, why is she in a wheelchair? What's that chair? Can I have one of those? And you're like mortified. So the second phase of our kind of spiritual development, I decided is a question mark. And I think that's sort of what the disciples miss. It doesn't occur to them that they should ask the question. Jesus, I mean, what questions come to your mind if you're walking with Jesus and he says, oh, by the way, I'm going to be handed over to the human ones and they will kill me and on the third day I will rise. You might be able to get the, okay, they're going to kill you, but wouldn't you ask a question about the whole rising thing? Wouldn't you say, well, Jesus, what are we supposed to do if you go away? Are you coming back? If you're coming back, will you be leading us again? They ask nothing. There's something really healthy about this interrogative phase. One of the things I absolutely love about the Lutheran faith is that we are an interrogative faith. We are built on questions. I love that in the small catechism, every one of the petition kinds of ends with, well, what does this mean? It's a question. And all of us are invited again and again and again to ask questions. I really meant it with the kids that I want them to come up with a question. I really meant that I want Pastor Angela to answer it too, but I mean, anytime we end our faith with a period, we miss the richness and fullness of what it means to be that child of God standing in the center. What's so great about kids is they are unafraid to ask questions. And so also should we. Be unafraid to ask questions. Well, why? Well, as Jesus and the disciples move through Mark, they get past this central stage where the disciples fail to ask the questions. And it isn't until after Jesus dies that they begin to have an inkling of what's going on. For all of us, our faith doesn't just stop with the question. I mean, I wish we had more questions. I'm a firm believer. Right now, we start confirmation at sixth grade, and we finish it halfway through ninth grade. It's like 3 years. I love when parents say, well, now how long is confirmation? And I say, 3 years, and the kids, the kids' face blanches. If I had my way, we would have confirmation from fourth grade until we put you in the ground. That's our faith. And it's so that we can have yet one more punctuation mark. You see, in developing our faith and learning what it means to be a welcoming people, to welcome as a child is welcomed, powerless, different, without property, without value in the time of Jesus. When we can welcome like that, when we can be pulled into faith in that kind of way, we can begin to have the last kind of faith. That last development, I think, and if you know me and ever get an email from me, you'll think this guy really likes exclamation points. And that's really true. Aloha! Exclamation point. It's so great to hear from you! Exclamation point. I'm the happy pastor. Which one are you? This time you're the other one. Our faith is, you see, developing so that we can have an exclamation point on it. The cool thing about an exclamation point is it leads you on to the next sentence. It's a period with a line above it. It draws you into the next place. And I hope that's what Jesus' disciples, and they do if you read through the rest of Mark. As you read through the rest of Mark, they begin to understand what their role is. Jesus sent them out in the sixth chapter, told them to go out and to heal people and put sandals on their feet and not take two tunics. And by the ninth chapter, they've quit asking questions. But in the end, at the foot of the cross, in the end, we too are sent out so that our faith becomes an exclamation point for the world. The disciples of Jesus forgot to ask questions. I pray that we will never stop, that we will continue to question and ask and be interrogative and exclamatory in our faith and not settle for a period. Amen. Amen.